you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Reading from Matthew chapter 10, verse 29. And are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, May 5th, 2021. Happy, Cinco de Mayo there, Rob?
Cinco de Mayo.
De Mayo?
Cinco de Mayo.
Say it right.
Cinco de Mayo. All right. Well, I wanted to open up with Matthew 10, verse 29, because the hummingbird sightings are happening. They're back, everyone. Get your nectar out or your sugar water. Hummingbirds are coming through.
1/4 sugar by volume and the rest water. So that's the perfect combination. And don't put red food coloring in.
Yeah.
Right. They don't need it.
Now, I thought the rule of thumb was, initially, to draw them, you go with at least 1/3 of sugar, so it maybe gives out more of a scent or a flavoring initially, and then you drop down to 1/4.
I'm not aware of that theory.
Okay, well, that's what I've always done, and I get a lot of hummingbirds, and hopefully I'm not hurting them.
Don't blame me.
But they keep returning every year. You get more and more because they have a memory or something where their nectar was or their sugar water, so... Get the hummingbirds feeders. And today we have Sansi, our intern, our fourth intern that's helping. She's actually at the mixer board. I've only had this one other time with Claire about 3 weeks ago where she engineered the program. So we have Sansi behind the microphone. And in my station, I'm standing over here to the right, lording it over everyone here. So they're
really
a little intimidated. They're seated and I'm standing up.
Do you feel intimidated, Rob? I don't.
Terribly.
Oh, my goodness.
So Sansi, say hi to everyone.
Hello, everybody.
Okay, so she's there helping out at the studio council. And a reminder, tomorrow the Women's Care Clinic in Danville is having their fundraiser. If you were tuned in Monday, you heard from the executive director, Bethany Hager, and then yesterday you heard from Jonathan Evans. He's going to be the guest speaker. He's Tony Evans' son, and wow, he gave a powerful testimony yesterday, but he'll be speaking on Thursday, so I'm looking forward to hearing him and finding out more about the great work that Bethany and their team is doing at the Women's Care Clinic in Danville. And I don't know if there's any room left, but I think you can watch it also online, but if there is in-person seating available for their special hors d'oeuvres and pre-program events and then the special guests and the dessert reception with photos, it goes from 6 to probably about 9 p.m., you can call them at 217-431-0987. That's 217-431-0987. And the last announcement before we introduce Rob and read a story from this month's edition of the Prime Life Times is a special shout out for Jim Gunther. If you notice that council and some of that is a little askewed, a little pulled from the wall.
Oh, Jim came in, did
Jim that. Was doing some wiring and working through some things. I'm having the pastors come, a number of pastors come on Friday.
You need a lot to be prayed over or something. Is that why you're having them all come?
Yeah. I always accept a prayer. But we're having a special pastor initiative, and I want to make sure I can utilize our big screen TV and connect to YouTube, and I have a special thing I'm going to show them. And we're trying to work out the sound system, and there was a component that I hadn't used for like 3 years.
So.
And I'm like, Jim, how does this go? Where is it wired? And so we had ceiling panels undone on Monday night. And
so you called the one and only Jim Gunther.
Jim Gunther. So thank you, Jim, for helping with that. That was in the midst of having some of the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe team here on Monday night.
Oh, is that still going on?
Yeah, we had to work on another song, and there's all these things with the copyright that you have to use the full length of a song, And we wanted to shorten some of the songs because it's a musical along with all the spoken dialogue. And so anyways.
Are you singing a special song?
No. And the singing men are going to be neat next Monday. So we have a lot going on.
You'll be singing there, though.
Yeah, I'll be singing next Monday night. But we had to work through a few other things and work on some lines and some more rehearsals. So that's still coming together. Les has spent dozens and dozens, I don't know, maybe hundreds of hours getting and gathering all the sound effects and putting them together, and then you add all the voices and the people, and it's a big undertaking, and Les and Kate have been doing the Longshore, what's that word, the Longshore efforts
that's
or something.
That's at the ocean, Longshoreman.
Yeah, well, like what the lion's share of the work.
Rob, tell us what to say.
You know about the Longshoreman?
I know about the Longshoreman. Yeah. I would say that probably it's a log roller's job. That's my background.
Okay. All right.
We're lost now.
So here we are. It's Wednesday, the Prime Life Times in Review. We have our May edition out in over 350-plus locations and growing. In fact, we're making more inroads into other towns towards Springfield and Decatur. I have a new volunteer in Decatur who's already identified 6 or 8 new locations.
Oh, that's the kind of volunteer we like.
Yeah. So, all right. So it's the Prime Life Times in Review. Grab your edition and read along with us. What do you have Rob reading today, Marianne, and why?
Well, he's going to read his Rural Memories article. It is titled Canoe Capers, and we were just discussing, we don't know why it's titled that, but that's okay. It's in our paper because Rob had titled it Canoe, and one of us tacked on the word capers. So anyway, that's its current title.
And it apparently got by the copy editor.
It did, and the editor. So
now are we going to say anything about this date, too, before he starts ringing?
Yes. What is today?
Today is El Cinco de Mayo, which is the 5th of May in Spanish. And where do you think it's more popular, here or in Mexico? Just take a wild guess.
Here.
Yeah, if we can commercialize something.
It's America.
And make money.
Grab anything.
It's not a very popular holiday in Mexico.
Is that right?
Yeah, and it's typically or often called the Battle of Pueblo, the day of the Battle of Pueblo or Battle of Pueblo Day. Pueblo is high up in the mountains near two sometimes defunct volcanoes. Sometimes they spit a little bit out. Popocatépetl and Iximixl, his girlfriend, supposedly. I've been there, and it's a beautiful place, way up high. The water boils before you stick your hand in boiling water.
So it's a holiday about a volcano?
And so, no, it's about how the French took over Mexico, and the Mexicans weren't very happy with that. Now, Napoleon had a way of conquering a country and then giving all his possessions to somebody, like in this case, to Maximilian, the Duke of Austria, Archduke of Austria.
Hmm.
So nobody in Mexico knew him. Nobody in Mexico. Well, there were two people that spoke French, but they didn't like him. So, and, you know, there was all kinds of warfare going on through that whole period. The United States did not intervene at that time because 1861 through 1865, the American Civil War, exactly. And so in 1862, there was a tremendous victory for the Mexican army at Pueblo. Supported by artillery, the troops stormed the city and took it. Unfortunately, they lost the war in the long run. And so they were ruled, sort of, by the French for a while. So Cinco de Mayo is really important here as a Mexican cultural day, Mexican food day, and lots of areas that have a large Chicano population. For example, the Illinois-Iowa Quad Cities, they have a big fiesta every year on Cinco de Mayo, or just before or after, sometimes on the weekend.
So at the end of the program, are you heading north to attend?
No, they already had it over the weekend, so it's too late.
Okay.
But I've been to that festival with a Mexican friend, and it was terrific. They had mariachi singers and all kinds of Mexican food. And one booth said, all income from this booth, and they were selling Mexican food, really good food, I can tell you, will go to the college fund of our two daughters. And the two daughters were there serving. They were teenagers at the time. So I hope they made it through college by now.
My oldest daughter went to school for a while in Las Cruces, New Mexico,
really?
Right near the Mexican border.
Yeah.
And we were down there, and they had the mariachi singers, and we had most fantastic food. I love Mexican food.
And, you know, Mexican food is different wherever you go.
Oh, it is. I know.
For example, you go to Arizona, it's one kind of food. You go to different parts of Mexico, it's another kind of food, quite different, quite distinct.
Well, when I interviewed the owner of May's, the restaurant, the Mexican restaurant for Delicious Destinations, he was telling me all about that, the different parts of Mexico and the different foods. It was really fun.
Now, yeah. Sansi, have you had Mexican food? Have you tried much of it here in the States?
Yes. It is very delicious. Okay. I did try it.
And it's especially Americanized. It's Americanized for Americans.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's the same with Chinese restaurants.
Sure, sure.
When the Chinese go to the American restaurants, they always say,
like,
this isn't Chinese food.
this is like...
And then there's a number of Chinese restaurants where they might have a Mexican person working, which is kind of ironic, but they know how to do the dishes that the Americans like. And
Well, if you can pour ketchup on it, you can serve it in America.
and there's always orange chicken.
Yeah. Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Oh, we're getting
almost
hungry.
Unknown in China. So
we got to read this article before we just keep talking about
food.
Okay,
that's right.
All right. So, Rob, read to us about your first canoe adventure.
Okay, and I have to say that one of our contributors hates canoeing and wrote an article about that, and I have the utmost respect for this lady.
Oh, yeah.
She's not only is her name Brain, but she's really bright besides.
Sorry, Nancy. She does it all the time.
But she never got along well with canoes and doesn't like them. And this is a different story. This is my story.
Do you realize I have two canoes and three kayaks?
You do.
Awesome.
Yep,
oh,
right
awesome.
On the river. Okay,
all right.
We don't want to rub that into Marianne, though. You know,
I know. Living out there on the acres on the Sangamon.
There it is. So this is Rural Memories, Canoe by Rob Seidenberg.
Page A2 in the May edition of the Prime Life Times.
My first canoe experience with nothing to write home about. I didn't need to write home, of course. My family watched my near drowning from shore. Strange and sad that so many farm kids never learned to swim, but that's the way it was. We were enjoying a May afternoon outing at McKay's Lake about 10 miles from our farm. There were a man-made sand beach, a 40-acre lake, a campground, and many picnic tables along the lakeshore. Best of all, there was no charge for just showing up and having a family picnic. You could rent a rowboat, a canoe, or a two-person paddleboat. Don McKay, later a close friend, was behind the lake resort concept. A boat dealer, he in fact got me my first canoe at his cost, but that was nearly a decade later. On this beautiful May day, we spent many hours loafing, reading, and eating Grandma Kay's fried chicken, and whatever else we hungry kids fancied from the picnic basket. She had forgone the usual lone chicken in favor of three entire chickens. The occasion was my 12th birthday, which would fall on the following Monday. As often happens in northwest Illinois, this late May was sweltering hot. The oats and corn were planted, and it was too early to make hay. The eight of us, mother, dad, grandma, and we five kids, had loaded up in the old Chevy, dressed as casually as we ever appeared in public. Some high school boys I knew were out in a canoe paddling around just having fun. I asked whether I could get a ride in the canoe. "Can you swim?" one asked. I'm sure these older boys who'd love to tease younger boys already had something in mind. I really wanted to ride in that canoe, so I lied. Yes, yes, I did. I'm ashamed of that lie, which almost got me killed. "Sure, like a fish," I said. "Even a dead fish floats for a while." Off we went to the far side of the lake, and I did have a great time. I was in the company of boys old enough to drive, and they had the canoe rented for the entire day. They showed me how to paddle, and I, being skinny but wiry, did my share. We really made that old canoe skim across the lake. As we came back in toward the shore, I saw the guys exchange a significant glance. I knew that look. I was about to get teased. What I didn't expect was that they intentionally tipped the canoe. If you canoe, you know it's easy to capsize a canoe, even unintentionally. Just stand up, for instance. You'll have an upside-down boat in no time. When I made it to the surface, gasping for air, I was under the overturned canoe. About that time, the boys flipped the canoe back upright and tossed me in, gasping and sputtering, then climbed in too. My family had witnessed the entire debacle. Dad, who could dog paddle credibly, had started for the lake at a run. He didn't have to get wet, though. Despite some water in my lungs, I was mostly okay. Dad asked why they had tipped the canoe, and they said, "Well, he said he could swim." What a younger boy won't do to be accepted by older boys. That misadventure had one good outcome. I came to love canoeing, which would occupy many wonderful hours of my life. I taught my parents to canoe, and they bought their own fiberglass model, which they took on their camper when they traveled. At one time, they had canoed in at least 20 states and Canada. Dad became a canoe instructor in his 80s. He taught dozens of people the joys of paddling. Sorry, Nancy. One spring day in my 20s, I drove out to McKay's Lake.
Hey, you don't have to worry about her tuning in. Once she heard the title, canoe.
Oh, she funny. Oh, funny.
We love you, Nancy. One spring day in my 20s, I drove out to McKay's Lake. I was saddened to see broken bottles, aluminum and tin cans, and all manner of other trash lining the shore. I drove over to Don McKay's house and told him I'd like to help clean up that shoreline. He was delighted. He let some water out of the lake to expose more shoreline. In an old aluminum canoe, maybe even the same one I'd first ridden in, we spent a morning with rakes, hooks, and nets pulling bushels of trash out of the water and piling it on the shore. He took me home for a delicious noon dinner, as farm people did in those days if you worked for or with them. We completed our circuit of the lake that evening, ending up with a small dump truck load of trash. Don said he could get me a canoe at cost. Would I be interested? You bet. I still have that canoe, a 16-foot Monarch, with a Sirius Lake keel.
Now, when you say you still have it, to this very day?
I have it to this very minute, yeah. I could bring it out and loan it to you if you like.
He's got three.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, but he could have a fleet that way. Four is a fleet.
A flotilla?
A flotilla, sure.
That's well done.
An armada.
Keep reading.
I hauled it. That is
thank you, Captain.
I hauled it on my VW van on trips to Lake Itasca and Lake of the Woods, Minnesota. I got to canoe a lot of the upper Mississippi. I also canoed the rapids of southern Minnesota's Cannon River one spring when it was out of its banks. By the way, I did learn to swim. That's a good thing. I've managed to capsize many a canoe through the years, ending up in the water instead of on it. Copyright, Cena Circle, Rob Seidenberg. You can write Rob at primelifetimes.com. Please do.
Nice. Makes me want to go out on the river.
Yeah, the canoeing. It's been a while. I have these great canoes and kayaks, but I think it's been a couple years since I've actually been on the Sangamon River. And the nice thing with the Sangamon River, we have a floating dock in the river. Now, no one has ever heard of that, but Skip and some others, we pounded these like 30-foot steel poles into the ground, and they used a backhoe, pound them in, and then I put a floating dock with like six barrels so it goes up and down when the river, because the Sangamon River, sometimes it's 15 feet deep, sometimes it's a foot deep, and so this floating dock goes up and down, and anyway, so we can launch right from the water. And then we have a couple different places downstream at the bridges, you know, like one towards Monticello, one halfway through White Heath. And then we get out and throw it either on top of the Jeep that I used to have or into the back of the pickup. And then we drive back. Anyways, it's kind of fun. Yeah. There's like the one-hour float, the two-hour float, and the two-and-a-half-hour float.
My first canoe trip was on the Salt Fork.
Was it?
Yeah. We took our lunch with us. We went a long ways and then got off onto the shore and had lunch. It was fun. It was really fun.
Yeah, Turkey Run State Park in Indiana has canoe rentals. So you rent the canoe, and instead of getting picked up, what they do is they drop you off. They have a big school bus that pulls a trailer with all the canoes on it. They unload the canoes, and then you have to push them down a long, muddy bank, get all muddy before you get in the canoe. Anyway, then you float down the river or paddle, whatever you like to do. So we took our Hispanic church there one time and spent almost the whole
day
there.
For Cinco de Mayo. No,
it was probably 2 days later, El Siete de Mayo. I'm not sure. But then you float back down the river.
Hey, Nancy, if you're tuning in, we're still talking about canoes, just so you know.
Right. Update.
But we're about done.
Oh, canoes. We all have experiences.
I drove a motorboat once, too. Yeah, scared everybody on the lake. I was only 15 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, if you pull out this month's edition of the Prime Life Times, available at over 350 locations, you can read this story and many others, and we appreciate all the feedback we're getting. We appreciate the various advertisers and people that help make this edition, this publication, free of charge, and so you can pick it up, like I said, at 350-plus locations. Find out more at primelifetimes.com, primelifetimes.com.
So, Marianne, I'm going to give you a fact sheet about Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, I'll memorize it. Do you want to quiz me on it later?
Yeah, I will.
Okay.
There'll be a test.
I'm excited. I tell you something. We order Mexican food so much, and we make it at home in between the orders. It's so good.
So you make it while you're waiting on the Mexican food.
No, I didn't say that.
Oh, okay.
And we appreciate El Toro, speaking of Mexican food.
They
advertise each and every month in our Prime Lifetimes.
It's a great coupon.
It's a great coupon, and they're a great team over there. They're hardworking, fast service. You get those chips. Have you ever tried the white cheese?
Oh,
you have
yeah.
to ask for it, because they'll give you that cheese spread for your that basket of chips.
Are you talking about
chips.
The white cheese?
Yeah.
I love that.
If you ask for it,
what's
they make
called?
It up. What's the name of that?
It's queso fresco. It's fresh cheese. In other words,
it's good.
Technical term here is green cheese, but it's not green in color.
Oh, don't
it's
say
just,
that, please.
No, it's just not cured yet, you know. So
it's delicious.
Yeah. Yeah, so
the cheese maker.
I order a container of it and just put it all over everything.
Yeah, my wife does that too.
Does she?
Well, I'm
going
to have to close out the program with what's the mariachi band. I'm going to find quickly here. I'm looking for a song to close out the program.
In Las Cruces, we were in this old hotel, and they came up and surrounded us, and they played.
Wow.
It was just awesome.
There's a Mexican Christian singer who has a Christian album. Her name is Ruth, R-U-T-H, Rios, R-I-O-S.
Uh-huh.
So I wish I had that album here for you because that's got some awesome
I'll close out.
Music.
I found one now. Hey, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, Rob Seenberg, and Sansi Gupta with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.
Qué hermosura de mujer he conocido. Nunca en la vida había mirado a alguien igual. Voy a cantarle una canción en el oído para que sepa que no la puedo olvidar.
Que no la puedo olvidar.
Le llevaré una serenata. Que yo quiero que ella sepa de mi amor. Voy a cantarle otra canción en su ventana y cuando salga le daré mi corazón.
Le daré mi corazón.
Ahora lo sé que de verdad conquistar su corazón. Voy a decirle que es mi rey.